Mora, Jackie. We've gone to every settler in this sector, and no one has seen or heard of Dave.
Well, on the bright side, if we don't find him by this Friday, we won't have to do another Friday the 13th episode.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's true. And if I remember right, the next one we were going to do was that Michael Bay reboot. Ugh. Well, you may as well ask the last person on our list. After all, Dave has the password to the Taco Bell storage locker, and I have a hankering for a cheesy gordita crunch. Excuse me, ma'am. We're looking for our store manager, Dave. He went missing a few days ago, and we're really concerned.
How do you know he didn't just run off with some gal he was shacking up with?
Oh, no, ma'am. You don't know our manager. You see, we're right in the middle of a theme month at our video store, and he would never leave before wrapping up.
Oh, him. He ain't missing. He's dead.
Dead?
People come out this way looking for 4Ks and Blu-rays all the time, sticking their nose into places they don't belong.
So you've seen him then?
Yeah, I seen him. He was here a few days ago asking about that Arrow Friday the 13th 4K edition. The one with the killer theatrical cuts or some such thing.
Well, that's great. Where is he now?
He's out in the barn out back. Used to be an old Barnes & Noble in the olden times. Anyhow, he got into it with the fella who runs the Criterion Closet.
Got into it? Oh no, what do you mean?
Well, Mr. Criterion said your manager wanted that 4K version of Friday the 13th so bad, he'd have to shoot the boot.
Shoot the boot?
Shoot the boot! It's an old college bro game they used to play in the late 2000s. You can pour some shitty beer in a shoe and drink it. If you could drink more than the other fella, you were the winner. Simple as that. They used to do it with the ping pong all the time.
And then what happened?
Well, after the 9th or 10th beer, your store manager was looking none too good. Never seen someone look so green in the gills before. Next thing you know, he throws up all that crappy beer he'd been drinking and passes out right on the floor.
Oh, God.
It wasn't a very pretty sight. I heard they was going to have to close down the Criterion Closet for a whole month to clean it out. Heck, they were even going to have to throw out that big old Bergman set on account it was covered in human vomit and Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Oh, Dave.
I tell you what, if he ain't dead, he should be. I was almost through that whole set before he ruined it. I've been listening along with that hoity-toity movie podcast called Film Fixation. I don't know what I'm going to do now.
Well, actually, ma'am, I happen to host
that. Come on! Let's go get Dave so we can record this stupid Jason podcast and get it over with already.
Well, thanks for listening, ma'am. You have great taste. There you are. I hope you're happy. From what I hear, you ruined the Criterion Closet in search of your precious Arrow 4K. I hope it was worth it.
Yeah, how good could a Michael Bay Friday the 13th reboot be anyway?
In a word, stupendous.
In the not-too-distant future of the Neo post-apocalypse, a group of movie fans, led by their charismatic but oafish leader Dave, brings the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Welcome to Apocalypse Video.
Did you know a young boy drowned here? He was my son. And today is his birthday.
You won't believe my parents' cabin.
Here we are. Pretty nice, huh? Just get your ass to the door. I don't want to say.
Here, but I'm looking for my sister. She's gone missing. Have you seen her?
She ain't missing. She's dead. People go missing around here, they're gone for good.
There's something out there.
We gotta get out of here. Come on, you guys.
Oh my god.
This place is called Camp Crystal Lake.
Jason, and today is his birthday.
All right, well, here we are again, guys. Another Friday the 13th episode. Like, it's what's that old expression? Same shit, different day. That's what this kind of feels like. Or, well, I guess actually it's the flip side. Same shit, same day, right?
Yeah, well, it's not the nature.
I'm your host, Dave. It's Friday the 13th again, and here we are recording another podcast again. I'm your host, Dave. I'm joined again by my fellow camp counselors, Jackie.
That mysterious old lady took my quote, but she ain't missing. She dead. She dead. Oh.
We're also joined by Michael.
Wow. You really know how to make a girl feel special, don't you?
Mike, for the record, you will never drink my piss. You guys are saying, what quote are we going to have before we start? There's so many baffling quotes to choose from in this
movie. Yeah, there's a lot going on with this script, I would say. Isn't it one of the lesser Wheaton brothers did the script? I thought I saw.
The Wheaton brothers?
Wheaton, sorry.
There is a story by Mark Wheaton. Yeah.
Someone else? Never mind.
Well, these are the same guys.
This script's crazy.
These are the same guys, if I'm not mistaken, who worked on Freddy vs. Jason. And also, believe it or not, the latest Sam Raimi film, Send Help, if you could believe it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well.
So, a lot of range on these guys. But Friday the 13th, 2009, I could tell you, I can remember where the time when this came out. I remember being.
Was it 2009?
Excited. It was 2009. I was, as you guys know, I'm a big Friday the 13th fan. And I was excited when this came out. When the trailer debuted, it looked intense and this, that.
Contextualize this for me, Dave, because I was alive in 2009. But I wasn't aware of the Friday the 13th movie, you know, of these series that we've been doing is really when I've seen them. So where was the franchise at this point?
It had been dormant for, relatively speaking, not a long time. Freddy vs. Jason, I think, was 2003. So it had been 6 years since a Jason movie had come out.
Sure.
Which at the time was a fairly long gap, I guess. Not quite as long as the gap between Jason Goes to Hell and Jason X. But you know, still fairly long. And like I said, like there was, this is a handful of years after that, Texas Chainsaw Massacre reboot, which was a pretty big success. That ended up having like a sequel to that, which was not a success. But this is during that time in the mid to late 2000s where every single horror movie of the 70s and 80s was getting a gritty reboot, a down to earth gritty reboot. And this was kind of one of the ones that I think people were probably, we're like, yeah, that's the obvious one that you do. When are they going to do that? And again, like I said, I remember when the trailer came out, being a huge Friday the 13th fan, I was very excited. Like there's a shot in the trailer when like he like throws the axe, and I remember my brother and I going, whoa. And then we go
in the trailer. In the trailer, does he like? Do you see him looking at the hockey mask?
I think so. I mean, you see him in the trailer. They don't hide him in the trailer.
Yeah, they're like, it's Friday the 13th with our good friend Jason.
Is coming. Jason will return. Jason in Friday will the 13th. Return.
Yeah, and so we were excited. He had like a cool look. We saw the movie, and I think at the time I enjoyed it, but as the years have gone on, watching this again for I've seen this a handful of times. By the way, we should point out that we did a little experiment. So I don't know, in case Mike
definitely
and Jackie's,
on purpose,
in case Mike and Jackie's body cams weren't working that record everything they see and do. I got the Arrow 4K of this movie. It contains the theatrical and killer cut. I watched the killer cut. Mike and Jackie watched the theatrical cut. So we'll talk about those differences. But
I can't wait to hear about them.
Watching this, you know, kind of laying my cards on the table, I'm sort of meh on this movie. It's definitely got problems. I think that, well, I guess we'll get into it, but like I had a realization that I don't, and I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of guff from this from fans, but I don't think Friday the 13th is a series that should exist outside of the 80s.
I don't disagree. I mean, like...
Why? What is your reasoning?
It feels like it just has to be like that aesthetic at some dinky like sleepaway camp, which like doesn't really exist anymore, you know?
Well, I think what I was brushing up against watching it on this viewing was it just felt excessively modern. Like it just like the music. Technically speaking, it's a competent movie in how it's made.
It's funny to hear it be described as modern, because as someone who has not seen this movie, I felt it was very like, in some ways, like a long time ago. Like,
when I say modern, I just mean in like filming technique and whatnot. But no, you're right. This is a time.
I am with you. I had as one of my notes that like, what are we doing with lens flare in a Friday the 13th movie? Like, we do not need that.
Filmmaking.
Yeah. That kind of an example of what you were getting at, Dave?
There's also a lot of shaky cam, which had its place, but also was really overused to the point where it was like, it's difficult to see the, you know, the action.
Well, I guess when I say modern, I mean of 2009.
Yes.
<You know>?
Yeah.
Because this, I had several thoughts watching this. One, like, this, why, you know, did we need a Friday the 13th reboot? Of course, they were going to make one, but did we need one?
The answer is no.
Yeah. This feels like a time capsule movie of the late 2000s, especially with the bro nature, which we'll definitely get into.
The technology is so, it's like that 2 year period where people would be walking around with the GPS device.
Yeah, that chunky handheld GPS.
We get like an iPod. Someone's using an iPod. Like, there's a handful of things that really do date this to like, this only could have been made within 3 years, like 2007 to 2010. You know,
they don't have iPhones yet. Still have kind of like maybe Blackberries.
It's above like a Nokia flip phone.
Yeah,
but below a smartphone. They're using like Blackberries
and Sidekicks, or maybe Sidekicks.
This is why cargo pants were in style, because you know you had to have like a pocket for your GPS, a pocket for your iPod, a pocket for your phone.
And they're not small yet. Before they're big.
It is kind of interesting. It's right in that period where in horror movies where you have to explain that there's no signal.
Yeah.
I'm getting no signal. I'm getting no signal, which is like something you see in all horror movies now. But not late enough for them. I found it strange that maybe I'm not remembering the period well enough, but I found it strange that they were so concerned that they didn't get a signal, because again, they're not iPhones. They're just, you know, all they would conceivably be doing with these phones is texting people.
Yeah,
so.
I guess that's it's yeah, they'd be texting.
But I feel like back then there was I feel like in that window of time before smartphones, but like as a late teen with the cell phone that wasn't a smartphone, you still were using it a lot. Like, I feel like texting a lot, people text a lot, you know, especially in an age before like any other really, you know, way to talk on your phone. Like, you would be straight up texting a lot.
It occurred to me, I don't know how I forgot this. If you recall Shaun of the Dead, that's one of the gags in the movie is that Nick Frost is constantly like holding up a finger.
Everyone was texting. You forget.
Yeah. And people were playing Snake.
Yeah, how am I going to play Snake on this stupid bro-y cabin trip?
Can I say, to lay some of my cards out on the table, if I can lay one card.
I loved it.
I condoned all of the actions.
Again, I just want listeners to know that was Dave who said I loved it. In a franchise that is kind of like built on semi-annoying characters, right? I feel like that's kind of the fun sometimes, is you get people being a little bit, for whatever for various reasons, annoying, and you get some glee in their kill a bit.
Yeah,
you know,
you're like,
I'm thinking of the, where the hell the corkscrew,
where's
Ted?
The corkscrew?
You know, that's like, that's a wiener. That weenie is asking for it, you know? This, again, in a franchise with built on annoying characters, this one easily, there's like two characters, maybe three characters in here I like, but the rest of them are just like, oh my God, they
loathsome suck.
Yeah, loathsome is like, you know, it's like the kind of things where it's like, they just say like one word and you're just like, oh, I hate this guy. I hate this guy so much.
The main douchebag boyfriend,
Trent.
The rich guy, Trent, of course.
The way you're introduced to him too, like...
Well, when they're at like the rest stop and there's like worried brother's sister's missing. He's like, is it okay if I put these flyers up? My sister's been missing. And then Trent behind him is like, hey, buddy, are you going to buy anything? Because we're in a rush. I'm a villain.
Was he here? Maybe I could talk to him. Maybe if he understands the situation.
Hey, are you gonna buy something? I mean, you've been up here for quite a while yapping, so.
Sure. Yeah.
Thanks. So we have two waters and some gas.
Two waters and some gas.
Guess I'm an asshole.
You okay, bro? Is everything good?
Yeah, everything's fine. Thanks. But I'm not your bro.
So you don't wanna be friends after this? You don't wanna hang out?
Let it go.
It's not me. This guy's being a dick.
Yeah, it's me. Obviously, I'm the one being a dick.
You've been yammering here forever. It's like that guy's been there for like a minute.
It's been 30 seconds. Just,
yeah, not even
a
minute.
Off the table. It's an antique. Do this. Don't do that.
Which, I mean,
Mikasa es su casa.
That is like, you know, he sucks so bad, but of course we're going to hang out with him because he's rich, so...
Well, here's the thing. Like, yeah, this is a series built on annoying characters, but I would be totally fine with this. You know, and honestly, I'm fine with this character being... He's the real villain of the movie, if you ask me. Trent is... And forget Jason. We'll talk about Jason.
You know who Trent reminds me of? I kept thinking
Trent
of it.
Trent would have let young Jason die.
He reminds me of Pete Hegseth. I think that is what the vibe Trent has.
Ugh.
Definitely. This is the Pete Hegseth origin story. But no, I don't mind him being... I think he's so bad that he is ostensibly the villain of the movie, in my opinion.
Yeah. Right. I mean, and you know, and I don't want to say, like, this is necessarily a criticism of the movie, because I think the movie wants you to hate him. The movie does not expect you
definitely to,
like Trent in any way.
Check out this douchey rich guy.
Well, the problem I have here is none of these people should be interacting with each other. These are not friends. And it seems like the movie suggests they're not friends. So it's like,
yeah, so
why are these
here?
Characters together? Why are they here? It makes no sense.
Why did you invite these two dudes who only want to smoke weed and not talk to the girls there, plus your girlfriend, plus like a girl you want to fuck? And yeah.
I think it's the most baffling thing about the movie. It's just like, how are these people friends? Question mark.
Like, is it like, I guess they're supposed to be college students, and it's like, I don't know, you meet a lot of people at
they're in the
college.
Same dorm, maybe?
Sure.
I guess.
Sure. There's also the other group of killable college students who are like trying to find a secret weed farm, but also, you know, bang. And stuff.
I mean, okay. Well, I guess we should start at the beginning here. We'll start at the beginning, which makes up the first 25 minutes of this movie somehow.
Can I say the first thing I was surprised with this is that this was not directed. Listeners out there may be shocked to hear this. The 2009 Friday the 13th movie was not directed by Rob Zombie, which shocked me. How did Rob Zombie not make this movie? How did I always think this was made by... I assumed Rob Zombie was out there, like, doing all of these, like, horror... gritty horror reboots.
You thought he was just hopping along to each one?
Did he only do Halloween? Was that it?
I don't know, man.
No, Marcus Nispel directed this. He was the guy that did the Texas Chainsaw Massacre reboot. That's kind
of what
put him on the map, and that's why he was chosen for this.
That's interesting, yeah, because that was another one I would have guessed was also Rob Zombie. So
well,
I think
it makes sense for that, yeah.
I think I was giving Rob Zombie a lot of the credit for Marcus
really
Nispel's
filmography. No help here.
No.
Wow. Just an indiscernible accent from
Let's talk about the
locals.
Opening of this film. So there's kind of two openings to this. We get the credit sequence, June 13th, 1980. We're going to condense the entire original Friday the 13th into a 30-second freaking opening credit thing.
Don't worry about it.
And it kind of, I don't know, like, I didn't like it. It was kind of lazy, and it really was like, we're just brushing over this real quick. Yeah, there's a whole thing with his mom. Whatever. We got to get to the fun stuff.
I totally agree. Part of me is like, is this trying to get to 90 minutes? Because this movie's like about 90 minutes. But the thing that I was like, okay, you got two groups of people going to see this movie, right? People who have never seen Friday the 13th, people who have and are familiar with it. And I think if you're going to this as a fan of Friday the 13th, you don't need this. Like, you know what happened. You know the Friday the 13th story, right?
Well, you also don't need it because they re-explain this backstory 3 minutes later around a fireplace, a campfire.
But the audience, they won't remember. They need the visual.
You do realize this camp was closed down like 20 years ago. Some woman, she went fucking nuts, killed all these counselors. Blame them for her son's drowning. He was like deformed or retarded or something. Mom got hers. Apparently there was one survivor. This girl, she cut that lady's head off with a machete. It gets weirder.
Sure it does.
Her son, Jason, he came back. He was actually there. He watched his mom being beheaded. Actually, a friend of mine, he went to camp around here. He went to camp around here. He said the cops came, they were looking for that Jason guy. You know what? Don't believe me.
Nobody does.
Don't believe me. But I'm pretty sure the way the story goes, the place is called Camp Crystal Lake.
If you've never seen Friday the 13th, you're going into this. That montage
who's this
alone
fucking lady? What?
Doesn't
Who?
Make any sense. It's not good. It's like incomprehensible. Who's I don't that think
kid?
That would like get across. It's when they tell the story. Sure. That's great. But just watching this little montage, like, I don't think it works if you've seen it because you already, like, I get it.
Like,
I know
like
what it is.
If anything, they should have interlaced the two of like they're telling the story and it like quick cuts to like.
Sure. That would have been fine.
You know.
That would have been fine. Yeah, need, but, yeah. But no, I'm totally with you. I feel like this is in a movie where we already have like an intro sequence. We don't need like the intro sequence to the intro sequence, you know?
That's hat on
this,
a hat.
Yeah. I really got the distinct feeling that the first 25 minutes of this movie before Friday the 13th shows up on the screen, this must have been edited to death. They must have gone through so many different variations of this to get to where this is, which is this weird. Well, and we'll just do both of them, I guess.
I don't know. Does both work?
Like, it just feels odd to me, and it throws the whole pacing of the movie off, because you get this pre-credit intro, then you get an extended 25-minute
intro. Yeah, it's almost like the first act.
Yeah. Yeah, a first act of a movie, and then the movie five kills. The movie resets and starts again.
20 minutes into, again, a 97-minute movie.
Yeah. It's wild.
It's a very oddly structured movie.
It is.
And especially, it kind of shines a light on how empty and vacuous these movies are, because it's like, well, we essentially got a whole Friday the 13th movie in the first 25 minutes, and now it's resetting and another Friday the 13th movie is starting.
Yeah, it's like, why? Why are we doing this?
I hate the pacing of this movie. It's like, I feel like they could have condensed that. I mean, I get the idea that they have to establish that his sister went out there, but it's like, how much establishing do you really need? It's like, a guy's looking for his sister and went missing.
Well,
it's
and
like,
then there's the, I think, weird kind of, at the very end, all of it tying together, of how, like, the missing sister, like, looks like Jason's mom or something.
I guess.
Hey, hold on.
Spoilers.
Now, I am certainly not this movie's defender to lay another card out. But I think you guys are being a little quick to pile on the Jason mom thing, because Jason has a well-trod history in some of our favorite, if I don't recall correctly, Friday the 13th movies, of acting really dumb and weird around things that look like his mom.
I guess that's true.
I'm thinking of that little kid dressed as Jason. Isn't it
in two where it's like the girl puts on his mom's like sweater something? Look, yes. I mean, Jason is dumb and weird and has mom stuff, but frankly, I just don't think the girl looks like his mom.
That's the thing. Yeah, I agree.
I don't think it was effective.
I think they should have gone weird, like a lot weirder with it. When we find out she's been captured, she's been there for 6 weeks or whatever. It should have she should have been dressed in like an old dress that was like, you know, Jason's mom's dress or something.
Yeah, it should have been like he's smearing mom's
makeup.
Lipstick over her mouth or
something like that.
Something fucked up.
She looks. One of my notes is like when it cuts to 6 weeks later and she looks really, just the way she looks. She must have regularly been bathing. Like, she's more well cared for than I would have expected.
Jason has been keeping her in his underground bunker.
Another thing of this era.
Every
horror remake slasher had an underground tunnel system for some reason.
It's like, okay,
this was really weird. Like, Jason has built infrastructure.
Yeah, underneath the decrepit, abandoned summer camp, which I guess he still hangs out in too. Anyway, but yeah, he's keeping her in his lair, and
he's rigged lights. He's rigged the lighting system with like a generator.
He's
imagine Jason like pouring gas into like the generator.
He has to go into town and pick some more up because that burlap sack on his head.
I mean, this is one of those things that you can change with a reboot. Like, all right, let's not make him quite as dumb. This is one of the things I actually enjoyed. I thought was fun about the movie was that they're like, this is a reboot. We can change the character a bit. Let's make him like a mountain man. He's resourceful in terms of like a hunter and stuff. It leads to some fun shots. Like, he's handy with a bow and arrow. That's fun.
That's true. He does have a bow and arrow.
And I like
he kills
traps.
A dude with it.
Like, I'm not a big fan of the underground tunnel system, but I enjoy the traps. Like, that's cool and foresty, you know, and there is, and like the intro sequence to this is pretty gnarly. Like, I remember seeing it in theaters. I was shocked. Like, holy shit. I'm talking specifically about the trap where he strings up that girl in
the sleeping bag.
The sleeping bag.
It feels like a really one up for me. I don't know. Like, I was thinking about the other sleeping bag death we get where he's just like throwing the sleeping bag around.
That's funny.
I know. I was having more fun with that. I don't know if I like the whole like I'm gonna roast you alive.
Thing about this movie, a realization, this one isn't fun.
No.
Like, a lot of the older ones are dumb fun. This is like the gritty realism.
Yeah. I know. And
very 2009.
These deaths are like a little bit too into the like Saw territory for me.
I was gonna say this is a post Saw world. This is post.
It's not quite that level, but it's definitely closer to that end of the spectrum than the like fun, more fun, silly. If Nightmare on Elm Street is on one and Saw's on the other, this is closer to Saw than Nightmare on Elm Street.
For instance, I don't want to spoil it, but there's a kill in Friday the 13th Part 3, which will be our final installment of the Friday the 13th series, that I think exemplifies the fun that we're talking about. You'll know exactly what it is when we see it.
You know, I can't wait.
Can I get a hint, Dave?
It involves something to do with the head. I won't be any more specific about that.
All right.
I was going to say, because what is... oh my god, Jason Lives 6. That's the best one. There's in universe like pop rock songs about Jason playing on the radio before he murders you. Like,
yeah, those just have a sense of fun. And again, they're kind of stuck in the 80s. They have that 80s charm to them.
Yeah,
this one, it's just like the gritty realism is just like, I don't really again,
to what end,
like,
you know.
Yeah, it's just like, it's not a vibe that I enjoy.
The way that, I think we've talked about the Ebert, his reviews on these movies, because these were like the bane of his existence. Roger Ebert hated these movies.
Yeah, real great. Jason, you can't hear him, you can't see him, he hardly even breathes. He's the latest word in leading men from the geniuses at Paramount Pictures. You get the idea. Friday the 13th, the final chapter, is 90 minutes of teenagers being strangled, stabbed, impaled, chopped up, and mutilated. That's all this movie is. It's just mindless, bloody violence. And just think of the message this film offers to its teenage audience. The world is a totally evil place, this movie says. It'll kill you. It doesn't matter what your dreams and hopes and ambitions are. It doesn't matter if you have a new boyfriend or a new girlfriend or you've got plans for the future. You can forget those plans because you're going to wind up dead. There is literally nothing else in this movie. And the sickest thing is, this isn't the final chapter. That's just an advertising gimmick. The ending clearly sets up a sequel. And what I want to know is, I wonder if they're going to be heartless and cynical enough to make the sequel, because why not? They've already taken the bucket to the cesspool four times for this sludge. I think the people who made this movie ought to be ashamed of themselves, and that's what I think, Gene.
I feel like he was seeing a more grisly movie than these actually were. Like, these are very often, like, not that gory, with a few exceptions, but like they're mostly like silly. And I feel like this is the movie that he's describing. This is what was made. Yeah. Like someone took the Roger Ebert reviews of the franchise and was like, let's see that vision.
He's like, yeah, that sounds cool.
It is dark and gritty, and you are just seeing people have sex and get killed, basically.
Wouldn't it be fucked up if your leg was in a bear trap and your girlfriend was being roasted alive in her sleeping bag? That'd be so scary.
You just like had borderline pornographic shots of people young people having sex.
Yeah.
We got full on grinding in this.
We get titties.
like a lot of screen time of like naked women. Like, I feel like there's like a lot of nudity in this movie, more so than the others.
Well, I was going to say,
I think like kind of after this point, like that all but disappears from the horror genre.
Yes. Because I had that thought where it's just like a real quick point. I think the only time this movie is truly fun is when he stabs that girl in the head and then pulls her up just so you can literally just so you can see her boobs. That was something from an 80s Friday the 13th movie. But to your point, I had the thought watching this. So this came out in 2009. It's very bro-y, which I'm sure we'll get more into. But I had the thought. So they've been trying to remake Friday the 13th again for decades. And it just makes me think. And there's word that A24 of all studios is going to make like a new reimagined show called Crystal Lake or something. And it got me thinking, would Gen Z even want a Friday the 13th
movie?
No,
this is all the shit that they hate.
They hate sex. Like, it's like everything they hate, yeah.
It's like, you know, they don't want to paint with a broad brush. They don't want a Friday the 13th at its most like camp fun that also has titties in it. They don't want, so why, yeah, why would they want the like gratuitous sex and violence? Not to, yeah, it's not to dunk on them too hard.
Which makes me wonder, like, if a studio like A24 is doing this, I would think they would probably make it so radically different. It's like, would it even be Friday the 13th anymore?
Yeah, like, it's like, I don't really want a psychological deep dive into, like, real-life disabled, you know, kid Jason who dies by negligence, you know?
I feel like whatever it be, it would be so far removed from what this started as, which is a shameless ripoff of Halloween from the mouths of the director of filmmakers, that it would be like, why just call it something else?
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah.
Or it would be like, I don't know, some half-assed like feminist reimagine. I'm like, no, we don't actually need that. Because to the point of, you know, the like critiquing gratuitous nudity or whatever of and how bro-y this movie is, 2009, like, you know, we're about to head into the 2010s, which for better or worse, like, you know, it became a little bit more popular to be like, I think women should have control over, like, you know, their bodies and, like, maybe their portrayal in movies and stuff. And maybe you should even let women, like, write and direct things. We got a little bit into that. And then, of course, we had to pivot hard away from that. But we're like, right at the end of that, you know, bro-y 2000s, like, of it all, about to go into our Obama era where... you know, there's a little bit less of that. So it is interesting that it's such a time capsule, this
film. Mean, yeah, I think we can all agree this is culturally a George W. Bush
it
era
is.
Movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
This definitely feels like a Twilight type of movie. Or when I say Twilight, like Twilight on a certain type of movie.
Okay, right, yeah. Right.
Like this movie, it's like a 2007 movie that came out in 2009.
Basically, yeah. It's God, and there, we haven't even mentioned that the lead is one of the supernatural boys.
Yeah.
Again, what a time capsule. They're like, this guy's really popping off.
I just, yeah. I mean, on one hand, I don't know if he brought this up, but one kind of criticism I think is valid for the Friday 13th movies among many is that there's never really a character that has any sort of drive, motivation, or goal. It's always just people go on a weekend getaway. Some friends get killed. Some of them get separated from others. They find their friends. Oh my God, we got to run. Somehow they
defeat
Jason.
Well, hey, sometimes you're a psychic and you're trying to learn how to harness your powers when all of this happens.
Yes.
And sometimes you're living on a space station and you and your class go on a field trip to old Earth. And
I guess that's fair. Not all of the movies.
No,
of the
but you're right.
Characters,
like,
with goals,
these,
but it's, or motivations, whatever. But most of the time,
these movies aren't like, about, you know, yeah, protagonists.
Yeah, so it's like, it's kind of appreciated that this movie has a character with a goal. It's like, I'm trying to find, he has something he's trying to do. I'm trying to find my sister. She went missing, you know, and that's that. It's very threadbare, granted.
Sure.
But it's something. And like I said, this movie, like, when we started, like, before we started recording, you're like, oh, I bet you love this movie, Dave. I'm kind of eh on it. It's very, I think it's kind of middle of the road. I think it's kind of middle of the road. I mean, and again, I don't like
the vibes. Was there a time of your life where you would have, you said you felt differently about this. I mean, did you feel, was there a time of life where you would have said this is one of the better Friday the 13th movies?
No. Okay. And when it came out, I enjoyed it enough. I think even then at the time, I'm like, this just feels different.
You're
you know
like
what I mean?
A fine curio, but
yeah, it's just not, the fun is not there like it was in those old movies.
Yeah, that's the thing. This movie isn't fun.
Yeah,
there's like
it makes a few attempts.
There's a couple bits. There's a couple chuckles,
mostly with the like side characters.
Yeah,
you know? Which is I feel like when the movie's at its best, honestly.
Yeah, I enjoy. I forget the guy's name, but the guy who's just trying to get high and like, you know.
Yeah.
That's one thing. Every character in this movie is horny. Like everyone just wants to fuck. And let's.
It is a Friday the 13th movie.
Yeah, let's talk briefly about the opening group of teens, college. I guess think college.
Everyone's
students.
A college student. Yeah. But like
I think early 20s.
Teens is funny to say.
Is like it just feels right for Friday
they're
the 13th to call them teens.
Teens.
Yeah, they're spiritually teens, but they're in their early 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah. My mind's stuck in the 80s still. Sorry. So let's talk about the early 20 somethings. The first group that we get. It's like on one hand, it's like. They have one annoying friend, but they do seem to be friends. If that's one positive, yeah. I'll give this first group. They do seem like actual friends.
They seem like an actual friend group.
Yeah. But it's strange to me. Like, there was watching this, I thought it was funny. And again, this is kind of apropos of Friday the 13th. But like, so one couple goes off to, you know, look into the forest or whatever, leaving behind the jokester character. And the horny couple, They want to have sex really bad. And she starts like undressing and rubbing oil. I don't remember any of the characters' names. You'll forgive me.
They don't have names.
She starts rubbing oil all over her boobs.
You know, like, what you bring on a camping trip.
But it's like, it got me thinking like, and I don't know if we've addressed this. Maybe we have in earlier Friday 13th episodes, but it's like, what's the dynamic with these friend groups? It's like, if you're willing to go on a, like, can you imagine like going with your friends on a camping trip and like just being like, hey, do you mind leaving for 2 seconds so we can fuck?
No, Dave, this is one of the moments of the film where I'm like, the acting, the plot, like what is happening, and also just what I'm seeing on screen. I feel like I'm watching like the intro to like a porno. Like,
yes.
it's like very much like all camping together and like,
it's just like, who does, normal people don't do this.
Right.
Swingers do this.
It's bizarre. It's so weird.
And plus there's like, hey, I think so-and-so is out there. And part of me is thinking like, oh man, if he's whacking off out there. And part of me is thinking like, you're fucking in the tent that we are all at. You're at our campground. Like, where else would I go? Do you want me to just go off into the woods by myself while you fuck?
Is you're also like audibly like being like, yeah. Oh yeah, like, you know.
Yeah,
and it's like,
so
wait,
ridiculous.
Is he out there? It's like, you got,
like, well,
you guys.
Of course he is. That's your campground. Where else is he going to go in the middle of the night?
I understand you don't want him jerking off, but also like, why?
He better have gone to the abandoned building over there and.
Why bring your a third onto the horny camping trip? Because the two guys are like, we're gonna find this secret weed farm and be rich. But like, his girlfriend doesn't know that. She thinks it's just a horny camping trip. Think that the friend is here, huh?
Well, and the other couple, the friend is just like, the boyfriend of the sister who goes missing, who Jason kidnaps, he's like, he has one of the funniest lines in the movie. He's like,
come on, have sex with your boyfriend in a cramped little tent.
It's like, I get the movie. I feel like the movie knows it's trying to be funny here. Like, that's a crazy line.
It is.
But it's,
and
like,
all,
are they all swingers?
Well, and especially we later in the movie find out that her and her brother, like, their mom just died.
Right.
And that she was, like, her mother's caretaker. And, like, and she's not reflecting that in this opening.
Well, I think at this point, because 6 weeks go by, I think at this point, because the guy says, like, your mom is the one who told me to take you on this trip. I think she's sick, and maybe the mom said, like, have some fun for a second.
Okay, I missed that.
Go steal some weed from a weed fard for me.
I need that chronic.
We're going to need, you know, the healthcare system in this country sucks. We need all the money you can get. You find that weed, you sell it.
We're thinking of
Breaking Bad. It's a Breaking Bad, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I did miss that. I thought this is like that the events of the film were like, well, my sick mom just died. And my brother is estranged. You guys want to go on a horny camping trip? Which is insane. Okay, so that's a little less weird. But still, yeah, like, yeah, you want to have sex 10 feet away from your friends in a weird tent because no thank you.
Yeah, like, do you know anyone like this? These are movie people, right?
Well, anyone that would do this IRL, I feel like it would be understood that, like, okay, so we're all gonna have sex with each other.
Yes,
like,
that's the thought that was running through my mind. It's just like, I feel like if they're cool with that, everyone else has to be cool with that too. Like, you can't just assume that your other friends are gonna be cool with you fucking 10 feet away from them.
It's got to be a group decision.
Yeah, exactly. So it's always kind of baffling to me. Like, I'm like, who are these people?
I mean, I think we can all agree the movie has questionable sexual dynamics.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it does.
We do get from this section, too, I feel like it's so... the boyfriend who's like, yeah, babe, let's just like keep exploring like the soup, the creepiest fucking thing you ever. She's like, babe, I really want to leave.
It really like,
he's just like, yeah, whatever.
It really pushes the horror trope of the characters walking into like, yeah, let's open the Book of the Dead, you know, like,
yeah,
it really like
this creepy abandoned building.
Jason, literally, like, huh?
Remember the shower? He's like, why don't I stick my hand in this like
in the wall? And then he pulls out a fucking head. Yeah,
pulls out a severed head. Yeah, of course. What else would be in there?
What is that?
There's something in there. It looks like some kind of a doll.
Are you crazy?
Oh my god! I gotta say, you know, fuck around and find out. I think they fall into that category here.
Yeah, and that's why that guy dies. That's why he gets stabbed a million times from below through the floor by Jason.
I'm kind of with that old lady that that supernatural guy meets later in the movie. It's like, yeah, he just wants to be left alone, you know?
Yeah, man. I don't care what he's doing in the woods with his mom's severed head. That's not my business.
Which, let's talk... Okay, so, yeah, the opening of this movie, it takes 25 minutes. We get, like, a 30-second condensed version of the very, very ending of the original Friday 13th. Mom... Oh, what's her face? Major Kira from Deep Space Nine is Mason's mom.
Wait, really?
I don't know if you noticed that. She gets her head cut off.
I didn't clock Major Kira. I'm sorry.
And then we get a 25-minute opening scene, which is like a condensed Friday the 13th movie. It honestly could have ended here, really.
Yeah, that would have been fine. I'd be like, and that's Jason. And that's what he does. He kills horny teens.
But yeah, so Jason kills all the people except girl. I forget her name.
Sister.
Yeah, sister.
But we don't.
Whitney Miller.
13th, and the movie restarts.
Well, I think her name is Whitney Miller.
Oh, yeah, it's Whitney. Okay, Whitney. Well, she's okay, sister.
Right. Whitney, okay. The movie restarts, and we get introduced to the second batch of 20-somethings that don't appear to be friends. Their dynamic is very strange. You got two comedy relief characters, one of which is seen buying condoms in the gas station, and they ask him, what are you going to use those for? And it's just like, yeah, what are you going to use those for? I feel like the other characters there should be like,
you're not fucking.
It's just us. Like, I don't know who you think you're going to have sex with.
Huh? My parents' cabin is stocked. You think you're actually going to get laid?
Oh, look, your parents do not have combos or Funyuns, and they definitely don't have Fritos, and this is not for sex.
What are you going to use them for?
It's an experiment.
Okay.
That does strike me as, like, an extremely stupid, you know, college-age boy thing to do of, like, well, you never know.
Yeah, it's really strange, and just, you know, they go to this rich douche, Trent, the perfect rich douche guy named Trent. They go to his family's cabin up in the woods in Crystal Lake, and they're just going to party, I guess, and play beer pong and
except
shoot the
that poop. Seems to be like, he's the one walking around and be like, guys, the table, up my dad's chair.
Can I point
like,
out something
why'd you
insane
invite
about,
them over then?
I need to point out something insane about Trent.
Yes.
Do you know about this? Tell me. Well, as I tell this, stop me if you heard this, Dave. So the actor who played Trent is Travis Van Winkle, and he also starred in another Michael Bay film. I mean, this isn't directed by Michael Bay, but produced by Michael Bay, right? The first Transformers movie that Michael Bay made. This guy is in it as the same character. He plays Trent DeMarco.
What?
In that.
Is he really? He's Megan Fox's like douchey boyfriend?
Well, he is someone's douchey boyfriend.
Okay, hold on. That movie predates this movie by 2 years.
Yeah.
So that means, yeah.
This
so
is in the Transformers universe?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Jason exists in the Transformers universe.
Yeah, if only the Optimus Prime had stamped him out.
I also just another fun fact about this guy, the actor, he modeled for Abercrombie and Fitch.
Of course he did.
Which is such a perfect description of like who this guy is.
I'm sure he's a fine enough person, but it's just like, yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows? But you do have rich douchebag movie face, so that's what you are going to play.
Yeah, this is the guy. It's Pete Hegseth. That is the vibe that this guy has.
I wish
there was something in the movie where it's just like, why did you invite them? It's like, you know, like something like, I only invited them so I could see what's her face or this. Or, you know, some explanation as to why he's cool with these people who he clearly loathes coming with him to his parents' house. It's just so strange to me. But it just feels like the movie's kind of going through the motions, which again, it's a Friday 13th movie. I don't know what I'm expecting. They're all the same. Yeah. It's all the same movie.
Yeah, come on.
It feels like for a movie that's trying to reboot and revitalize a franchise, it does feel like fatigued a bit. Like it's like, yes. it feels like it's like the 10th movie.
It doesn't
in the
feel
series.
Fresh.
No.
No. And I think it thinks it is by being gritty. But that's the thing. Like if it was fun, I'd be more on board with it. But the fact that it's a gritty reboot going through these same motions, like I'm getting those same beats, but the fun is gone. The flavor is missing.
Yeah.
And it's just like, And if I'm putting it in food terms, like it's a competently made dish, but like where's the flavor? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just like
the seasoning.
There's the seasoning.
Like, all the pieces are here. Visually, it looks like a Friday the 13th movie, but like it's missing that spice, you know?
Yeah. A little too much lens flare.
But like if we're talking about positives, I don't want to be all negative on this movie. I did write down some things that I thought this movie does well. Like I said, I enjoy that they make Jason a mountain man / hunter. Like you can do some fun things with that, like the traps and the bow and arrow to the head was fun. There was another thing, we haven't mentioned this character because none of these characters matter, but was it just me, or does the guy that drives the boat that gets the arrow to the head, did he look like a clone of Dax Shepard?
Yeah, but also Dax Shepard looks like a thumb, so...
Yeah, I can't say I had that thought. You know what
does look like a white guy.
I appreciate also that they retain the sack. He doesn't immediately get the hockey mask. He has the sack, which I'm pro sack.
Get a clean read of that for anyone to clip that soundbite.
I'm pro sack.
I'm pro sack. I wish this is something they would have expanded upon, but I wish that we would have had more with the townsfolk. I like this moment of the
Something I wrote down, I think one of the best parts of this movie is the sequence where the main character, really, the Clay Miller, the supernatural guy.
Mr. Supernatural, he's
investigating his sister's disappearance, and he's going through and just, we get vignettes of him talking with each of the townspeople, and it's so funny how like, is he just talking to the creepiest people he can find in this town?
Well, yes,
like,
it's creepy town.
It's clearly just a horror movie and they're wanting to make every scene tense, but it's so funny because it kind of comes across as like, everyone in this town is like so weird. And
he's like going on his motorcycle, like place to place, and then like slowly creeping onto the scene. He's like, hello? And then there's like a jump scare of someone like, what are you doing here, boy?
I'm just here in my ramshackle shed throwing mysterious items into the wood chipper.
There's something that this movie hints upon. Like she said, the suggestion is that this town, the townsfolk know of Jason, know that he kills people, and are like, we leave him be. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
don't ask, don't tell.
Exactly. And it's like, it almost like there's a whole side thing of this movie that we didn't address. So evidently supernatural guy is going from, you know, talking to all these people, giving flyers, it's been 6 weeks, my sister's missing, blah blah blah. And there's a baffling scene when one of the the Crystal Lake sheriff like pulls this guy over and he's like, so hey, we're tired of you asking people about your missing sister. We did everything we can. You're being a real jerk. You know what I mean? It's just like, what is happening?
It's so funny too. It's only been 6 weeks.
Yeah. He's like, I put my best men on that job. You
know? Yeah, we tried for a couple weeks and we didn't pan out. So
It's like, we want you get the vibe, like, we want you out of this town. It's like, because he's looking for his missing sister? Like, what the fuck? And then it got
he's like,
thinking,
don't be trouble.
He's disturbing the peace by doing things like asking the gas station attendant to hang up a sign.
Yes, it got me thinking because, like I said, that one lady, the old lady, seems to suggest that the town knows what Jason is, what he does, etc. Does that include the cops? They're just like,
I like that. I like that idea. That's not really how I read it, but I do like the idea.
That's
that,
a
like,
more interesting.
We want to keep Jason secret. Like, don't bring too much attention.
Look,
to this.
Yeah, we don't want.
We need to feed
attention.
Jason a fresh meat every once a year, and he leaves us alone.
Well, it's just so baffling that I'm trying to reconcile why the sheriff would be so mad that this guy is doing these very legal things, you know, looking for his sister.
He seemed less mad and more like, you know, like
hey,
sad,
son,
like, hey,
accept it.
She's probably fucking dead.
Yeah,
so.
I'm with Jackie.
I kind of read. He
you should probably
like
just leave.
He seemed like he was putting a bit more mustard on it. That was kind of my
I think he's a bit just like, you know, hey, you got to move on, kid.
It's been 6 weeks, okay?
It's been 6 weeks.
Get the fuck out of here.
Maybe I was just reading into it too much. But
no, you're like describing what would be a more interesting movie, which is like, it's Friday the 13th, but the town, if not in on it, like, has their reasons for protecting a serial killer. But like,
that could have been something.
That could have been something, like one of the, you know, the final girl escapes and gets to the, you know, kind of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, of like, they get to the gas station and it's like, oh my god, help us, like, there's these cannibals, and he's in on it, and he's, you know, part of it, of like, she gets to like the old lady's house and the old lady like just like locks her door. She's like, no, I can't be messing with that. No, I gotta, that Jason does what he does.
Or
but they didn't make that movie.
Or is it as simple as like, well, he's one of ours, he's a local boy,
look,
so you know, we protect,
he pays his taxes.
But there, yeah,
he's who do you think is like, he's I like the my theory, he is like the town electrician, he's like the town handyman, because as we can see, he's really good at apparently setting up a lot of stuff
well,
on his own.
I
as long
know.
As he keeps the sack on, you know,
it was kind of interesting, like in the deleted scenes, I don't think that's the case, because in deleted scenes it's interesting, there was an alternate version of how Jason obtains his hockey mask, which
yes.
I'll tell you,
he goes to a
so
hockey
in the
game
version that we see, either theatrical or a killer cut, as it's known.
Is this the one that was the edit that Jason did of the movie?
Yeah. I'm also a competent editor.
Well, no matter which version you watch of the movie, it's the same. This Hick, who works in this barn, takes a porno mag.
And watches over the weed farm.
He watches over the weed farm. That's right. He gets high. He hears a noise upstairs in this barn, goes upstairs, and there's a suggestion that he has had sex with this mannequin. He lost his virginity to this mannequin, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, it's a very interesting little bit.
And then Jason walks up behind him and like stabs him, and he falls down. And then as Jason, or no, before he stabs this guy, the guy rips off Jason's sack, and we reveal his crazy form, stabs the guy. He goes down to pick up his sack. Oh, what's this? A hockey mask.
I don't mind if I do.
It's such a... I remember seeing it in theaters. I'm like, how they reveal the hockey mask? It just happened to be like in some dirt and crap.
Oh, look, a hockey mask.
I mean, it's apropos.
I mean, the guy's kind of like, the place we're in is like his storage unit, basically. It has like...
just a bunch of crap.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, I found this. In a pile of crap.
I guess this is an upgrade. But it's so throwaway, it made me laugh. But it's quite different from the alternate version, the deleted version. So in the deleted, and I think I had mixed it up in my mind that somehow this version was a theatrical version of the movie, of this reveal, but it was not. This was always deleted. I got it, my wires mixed up. But apparently in the deleted version, this guy is seen... high off his ass in the shed, he puts the hockey mask on. And the suggestion is he's about to jerk off with the hockey mask on while high, looking at this magazine. Jason walks
Any
down
idea why he puts the hockey mask on?
Because he's a
no
freak.
No reason at all. It happens. It's like he just puts it on because he's a freak. It's bizarre. Jason walks down the shed, and there's a line where the guy says, "So you're the one who's been ripping off old man Marley's kerosene or whatever," which I think negates your theory of like he's like the town electrician.
No, he's just
like
stealing kerosene. Shit.
Yeah, granted, this is a deleted scene, but anyway. And then he grabs the guy's head, chops his head off while he's still wearing the hockey mask. Then he just sort of looks at the hockey mask for a second. He discards the guy's severed head and swaps it. That was the alternate reveal of how he gets his hockey mask.
Huh.
I think I prefer...
Both are baffling.
I think I prefer the one we got.
I think they're both stupid. Like, and to be fair, we haven't gotten to this movie yet. Again, this isn't the third movie, but how Jason got his hockey mask never made
okay,
sense.
Okay, yeah, I'm glad we haven't seen it yet, because I was thinking, like, I don't remember how he got it.
It's always been stupid. In fact, when they were making the movie, it was very much like, we need a thing, what do we got? I guess I got a hockey mask in my backseat of my car.
It is more functional than, you know, sack over the head, but I think the sack. And more, you know,
the sack has a certain je ne sais quoi.
Well, it's I think scarier in a lot of ways, but you know, also then you get the
hockey mask is more fun.
And it's more iconic because then you get like this is an easily recognizable Jason costume. You got your jumpsuit and your mask.
It turns it into like action figure.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, as Steven Spielberg would say, it's something you can identify by silhouette alone. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or whatever.
But. Yeah. But like, I think it's during the opening section, the first set of kills, but we are like kind of first reveal of Jason as like a figure sort of in the distance with like the sack over his head. It's really scary.
Yeah, like, I think his introduction is scary. Like I said earlier, if we're talking positives, I think his overall look is good. He is intimidating. He is giant. He has, as I mentioned before in other episodes, the things I like, you know, like sound design, like his thumping thuds of footsteps, you know what I mean? Like, it's effective. I like that he has some hair. It's like tufts of hair. Like, I'm pro hair with Jason.
Yeah.
Yeah, what is but, he
like,
be
he's rocking like
it?
The Benjamin Franklin kind of look.
Yes, that's exactly what it was. It was a Ben Franklin.
Or the Hulk Hogan.
Or or more
actually,
modern Hulk
Hogan. I'm growing it out.
But that's kind of and I guess I should say, like, I as douchey as the Trent character is, they do, I will say, they give him a death that matches his level of douchiness. Mm-hmm. He really gets killed. He gets stabbed. There's a scene when you see like his guts spilling to the ground, and Jason just sort of like throws him onto this I don't know what it is.
Pickup truck or something? Like it's like a spike off the end of it.
Yeah, he like throws him on this spike on the back of this truck, and the guy drives away, and you just see this douchebag, you know, as it drives off.
It's like he's like a hood ornament.
Yes, I think like, you know, he gets an appropriately gruesome death that matches his douchiness. You're like, that guy needed to die in the worst way.
Mm-hmm. And he did.
And that's about where my positives end for this movie.
Yeah, it's not good.
I think the pacing is really bonkers. Like you mentioned, Mike, this is a bizarrely structured movie. Just the fact that it restarts 25 minutes in and just becomes another Jason movie.
Yeah.
It's just,
I mean, they really, you know, hindsight's 20/20, but the intro to the intro shouldn't be there. And then the intro should be like 5 minutes shorter. And I think that would go a long way.
Yeah. Also, what was the point of the fucking weed thing?
The weed? Yeah, there's some, like...
You think there's going to be like, payoff for that? There never really
is.
Yeah,
they like... There's some weird weed device, like... Which is, I feel like, a very 2000s trope of, like, oh, we have this
weed.
Insane device.
Well, it struck me, like, I can imagine, like, the writers of this movie, like, you know, they got the whiteboard. They're like, what Friday the 13th beats do we have to put in here? Mm-hmm. All right, we definitely got sex. We got nudity. Yes. We got to throw drugs in there. This just feels like one of the prerequisites. Like, we got to have drugs somewhere, right?
Yeah, I guess. It was stupid, though.
Yeah, pretty much sums up this movie. But, I don't know. I honestly don't have much else to say about this movie. Like I said, it's very middle of the road. And Like, there was some, I thought there were some interesting things in the deleted scenes. Like, for instance, there's a scene with the sheriff. We see the police station, and this is presumably after the call where they call the police, and the deputy says, like, "Sheriff, I don't know, it's what's his face again?" And suddenly
it's
this
what's
is an interesting
his face,
scene.
You know, Jason.
Well, no, I
oh,
I'm not,
the
I,
brother.
That's I'm paraphrasing, but the sheriff says something like, "Well, why aren't you moving your ass like it's on fire?" "Well, it's that guy again, Sheriff." And he goes, "You know what happened? You know that story about the kid who cries wolf? You know what happens to the kid at the end of that story? He gets eaten." It's an interesting, I'm like, why wasn't this scene in the movie? It would have gone a long way to explain, like, you know, the actually maybe the sheriff wasn't such an asshole. Like, he did care.
No, we need more boobs and weed jokes.
I guess I was just like trying to clasp on to anything that was like more character moments. You know what I mean? Like all the, in fact, I think there's a line that someone says, I forget who says it, but it's like, "You're such a cliche." Yeah. Like, all you are cliches.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Well, even. we only do that kind of, meta humor for weird race jokes.
Ugh, God.
Is anyone getting a signal out here?
You fuck with me right now? Got business I gotta do this weekend.
What business?
Music. Trying to start a label.
Oh yeah? Like what kind? Like rap?
Why you gotta go racial? Look, don't put me in a box, alright? What, cause I'm black I can't listen to Green Day?
You're right, that was dumb. So, what kind of music?
Rap.
That was another very 2009 about it, of like, "Oh, wow, because I'm black?" And it's just like, what a really, really, really creative and funny joke you did
this
there.
This movie, I imagine, is definitely in a 2009 time capsule that was sealed. You know what I mean? They're going to open it up, and it's like, wow, look at all these old tropes.
Anyway. Oh, you actually are not allowed to touch any of these.
One thing I thought was interesting, as a... there. So this whole, I think we've mentioned this before, this whole series began as a ripoff of Halloween. They're like, we need a day.
Yeah.
Oh, Friday the 13th has been taken. Let's do that.
That's where a spooky day. It,
a summer camp, you know. One thing I never picked up on watching this, I'm wondering if you guys caught this. At the end of the movie, after they've defeated Jason, they've like, you know, wrapped, they stabbed him, they wrapped the chain around his head, and he gets pulled into the wood chipper or whatever. Mm-hmm. The movie does this thing where it shows you all of these locations where Jason has been throughout the movie. And it suddenly occurred to me, I never realized it watching this before. I'm like, wait a minute. This is the ending of Halloween, straight up. If you recall, Halloween, after he disappears from the grass, the movie cuts to all these places where he's been throughout the movie. And I'm just thinking, like, really? You had to go another extra step of ripping off Halloween? I mean, granted, this whole series began as a shameless ripoff of Halloween, but I was just like,
never forget your roots.
We've said this before in the podcast. It's like, never remind people of a better movie that they could be watching. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, and also, like, there's, I just thought that it's just like, I don't think this is a very well written movie. Like, for instance, at the end of the movie, they're like, Well, it's a Friday the 13th movie, so I guess we gotta, like, dump his body into the lake
into
or something.
Into the lake, and it's
it makes no sense. It's like, I think the police might have a question about this.
Yeah, the end of this movie is insane. Like, that they're like, well, yeah, no need to call the authorities here. Let's just take it upon ourselves to dispose of this murder. Like, maybe when the cops eventually do show up and it's all your friends are murdered, including your boyfriend, and you're with, like, a new guy.
No, it's the brother,
one else is around. Maybe you want a body of a murder to be like, no, he was the murderer.
The girl doesn't survive. It's the brother and sister at the end.
If they had lived after this movie, if we don't get the, you know, cliffhanger, whatever, twist or whatever you call it, they would have just been arrested.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the only reason that they push him into the water is so that he can have that last scare moment where he jumps out of the water. That's the only reason they dump his body in the water, is for that last scare.
They don't even know that it's symbolic to his whole thing.
Yeah, in the other Jason movie,
died by water.
Exactly. In the sixth movie, it's like, we got to put him in the lake. I read this book on occultism. It's like, okay, that's stupid, but at least I could see the connective tissue as to why you're doing that. This movie, they're just like, I guess we'll just dump him in the water.
I don't know. We're right by the lake.
Should
we dump his body?
And again, like, I think it screams of, like, what Friday the 13th things do we have to put in this movie? Well, don't those movies usually end with them dumping his body into the lake or something like that? That happened a lot, right? We should probably do that. It's like, well, yes, that happened, but like, it
I guess
doesn't
it's
because
he likes
movie.
Being in the lake.
Yeah, it's just I don't know. Really. Yeah. Well, one thing I thought was funny that they retained, you think they would have fixed this, but in the opening intro, Jason's mother is like, you killed him. You let him drown. It's like, he's right over there.
He's actually here.
He's actually right there. They make no attempt to try to reconcile the fact that he drowned, but he's still alive.
Yeah.
And she's taking revenge because he died, but he's right over there.
Yeah.
Like,
and it's
happening?
And it's like, that's easier to kind of hand wave over the course of like several movies over the course of many years. Years as opposed yeah. to this reboot that you're making on purpose. Like,
yeah.
that's actually maybe you should answer that question
that's
if we're
honestly,
gonna fucking
the, yeah.
reboot.
The most baffling question about the Friday the 13th series, you know, it begins with her taking revenge for her son's death by drowning. But then in the second movie, he's suddenly alive and is a mountain man. It's like, rebooting this, maybe address that?
Maybe.
Yeah.
No, not even a little bit.
Eat your fucking slop.
Not even a little bit. He's just in the woods and he finds her severed head. It's like, okay.
Except
I
that
guess
I
he didn't die.
I guess we kind of always come back to like Jason is an unkillable supernatural thing. But it's like, does that imply that he was born that way? And so he died as a child, but he came back.
It's so odd that these aren't questions that they address with this reboot.
I know.
Eat your fucking slop.
What's the point?
The more I think about it, it's like, why does this movie exist? Like, you're not doing anything.
Did they
new.
Ever
it's
make good... more?
No, this was the last Friday. They've been trying like hell for decades. And it seems like there's finally some traction with A24 making this new Crystal Lake TV
show.
But
again, who is it for?
Exactly. I don't know. I feel like the audience.
Nostalgic Gen X.
That yes, and because again, it's as we mentioned, like, is Gen Z, are they going to give a shit about Friday the 13th? Like, they don't have sex. What are they going to watch Friday the 13th for?
They don't want to see
just
boobs.
Seems like the audience for Friday the 13th is I don't know. I guess the horror audience is big. Like, what am I kidding? Like, people love Friday the 13th in general, but it's just like, again, they want that 80s Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
You're getting further and further away from that. What are you doing?
I guess they could go
every day we stray further
fucking,
from the light.
Yes. What is that? It the Clown TV show, Derry something.
Welcome to Derry.
Which is a period piece, which show are the movies, but like, it's like set prior to the events of the reboot It movies. So I think, yeah, if they were going to do any kind of Friday the 13th thing, it's like, I know we say this all the time with all these James Bond, Friday the 13th. You're not going to find the solution in future times in 2026, Jason. So let's just go back to the 80s.
I would actually say if someone were to make a new Friday the 13th movie, I would say make it a period piece and not even 80s. I think honestly, as far back as the 50s is okay. Yeah. Like, I think that and kind of get like lean into the pastiche. I feel like the thing that you'd anchor the movie around is the pastiche of like the summer camp,
mm-hmm.
and like making that make the summer camp be like
the site of horror,
weird community, and then you unleash Jason into it. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah,
which is something they did one time.
Yeah,
in
which
the
is
best
like
one,
the best
part
one.
Six.
Yeah,
Jason Lives.
Yeah, that like basically, I guess I just want that again. But you know, maybe do a more contemporary version of that, or, you know, you could take it in different directions, you know, but I think that you gotta, in some ways too, just like keep it simple, you know, we don't need lore. I don't want to know anything about Jason, really. You can tell me, I would like the idea of like, I think it'd be cool if when you do hear his background, maybe you hear it around the fire, people are talking about it, and someone's like, well, I heard this is what it is. Well, I heard this is what it is. Maybe you never know what the real story
is. It should be unreliable.
You know, as far as like the mom goes, someone could just say like, I heard it was his mom who did the killings.
Well, again,
you know?
At like... I ask again why this movie exists. Like, I go back to what I said at the top. Like, I think Friday the 13th is a series that should have remained in the 80s. Because you look at the series, of that time, and it was diminishing returns, because I think audiences kind of got, like, as I said, this movie began as a ripoff of Halloween, and it seemed like the reason it really hit was because of the gore. It's like, whoa, this is new. This is like a shock value thing. And as that, as the MPAA made more cuts to the sequels as it went on, people became less interested. It made less and less money, to the point where Paramount's like, we're done with this series. We're selling it to New Line.
And I think what had happened, Dave, is the cocaine dried up.
Yeah,
studio executives started doing less and less cocaine.
It blew away.
What's the word? The gimmick just died. People were sick of it. Yeah. It's just like, like, this isn't fun anymore. It's boring. Like, I think people realize that there's not much to these movies. You know what I mean?
Well, and the thing I would say, I hate to say it because I do, some of these movies are pretty fun. I think on a whole, this is a franchise where most of the movies are not very good.
Yeah.
Agreed. Yes.
which is, I think, a big part of it, right? If these were like banger movies quality wise, I think the audience may have not been fleeing in the way it was.
Well, that's why I think this movie this is a product of its time, and it feels like trying to resuscitate it again is just desperate, and it really just reeks of, this isn't a new idea, but just like, Hollywood has no new ideas. Like, what's just, get the paddles and shock back to life all these IPs. It's like, what are you doing? Some of these things are just, they belong in a certain era. When you try to bring them into the modern era, it's just like, what are we doing? It doesn't belong. Like, these movies are fun because they were of their time. And when you take them out of that, you lose that flavor that they had. Like, these weren't good movies, but like, looking back on them, there's a charm about them and they have a sense of fun to them. It's just, when pulling them out into the modern age, it didn't work for me. And the reason I think Freddy versus Jason worked and we should say is still the highest grossing, technically, Friday the 13th movie. This movie did not outgross Freddy versus Jason. Freddy versus Jason does have that sense of fun. That is camp-tastic, Freddy versus Jason. You know what I mean? Say what you will about that movie. Maybe it's not great, but there is at least a sense of fun that they're having.
No one could deny that movie has fun.
Objectionable as some of the parts in it may be, it's like, at least there are parts of it that are like clearly trying to be fun. This movie is just like,
a member of Destiny Child is calling, I think, Freddy Krueger a bitch in that movie.
That did happen. I think she actually called him the F slur.
That's what it was.
That's like, questionable things.
Yeah.
Your
point there.
I mean, yeah, like, as I said, questionable things. But at that aside, like, in general, it was kind of, they had a more campy vibe.
It's definitely a movie I prefer over this, I would say.
Yeah. This, on the other hand, it's just like, there's not much for me to enjoy in this movie. Like, honestly, the more I rewatch this movie, which isn't a lot, like, I like it less and less with each rewatch. It's just sort of bland, and it just really makes me realize I'm like, they should have stopped after that eighth movie, I think. Like, it was diminishing returns. Like, Paramount knew at that time, like, the series is done. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing else we can do with this.
Yeah, I think there is something they could have done, but that could have been, I think there's...
Well, he went to space.
Yeah.
And then he met Jason, and then that's really it. He's really done. There's nothing else we can do.
He's never traveled through time.
Unless he goes back to the 50s, like what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. He has to save himself.
Anyway, what about... I'm just going to throw this out there. What if Jason found himself in the Revolutionary War?
What if Jason decided to follow the teachings of Christ and give up killing?
And again, I think this really exemplifies that this series just has nowhere to go. Look at what we're saying right now.
I was trying to pitch a fastball, but okay.
Well, any closing thoughts on Friday the 13th, 2009, or should we get into recommendations?
I guess one last note on the reboot, remake, whatever that they should make. Give me the Pamela Voorhees story. I want her planning the...
That's what this A24 series...
I want her planning the events of the first Friday the 13th movie, planning all those kills, stalking young Kevin Bacon. and putting on that sweater and slacks.
I mean, I guess if I'm being fair, that yeah, that's something I would rather see rather than more Jason. Jason's played out.
At least we can get into a character here, you know?
Yeah, a character. Yeah, exactly. A character that can, like, speak.
Give me this crazy emote. Lady.
Yeah, exactly. I would rather see that.
That's about
that. To be fair, maybe the A24 show will be fun for that. Maybe. Who knows?
Starring Anya Taylor-Joy as Mrs. Voorhees.
So that's a non-recommend. What about you,
Mike? Yeah, yeah.
I think this might be my least favorite of the Friday the 13ths. So no, I would not recommend it. I think it's a swing and a miss, unfortunately.
Like I said, I would agree. I like it less and less with each rewatch. If you're going to watch a Friday the 13th movie, I would say watch the first one or the fourth or sixth one. Yep. That's kind of it.
Yep.
I think those movies sum up what these movies are. You get either the first one with the mom.
First one, the fourth one, and the sixth one are definitely up there for me. Remind me, what's the fifth one?
That's
is that Take Manhattan?
No, the fifth is it's set in a halfway house or something. That's with the mother and son hillbillies. She's you big dildo.
Right. Maybe the fifth one is not.
It's not good.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
So, well, I was gonna say really, you think this one's worse than the fifth one? Because I seem to remember the consensus of the fifth one was this is the most disgusting Friday the 13th.
It was disgusting.
Maybe,
and not because of the gore.
This is probably evenly ranked with the fifth one. On par.
The distaste is for different reasons.
Right, exactly. Equally distasteful, but in a different way.
Yeah. No, I'd agree. I think that's a good take, but
eat your fucking slop.
It's not the worst movie I've ever seen, you know, saying that about this movie. I don't think this is an abysmal movie or anything like that, but it's just not.
It's just meh good. At best.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, guys, you'll be very relieved to know that we only have one more Friday the 13th movie to watch.
Then the curse will be broken.
Then the curse will be lifted.
Finally.
And I'm just going to say right up top now, no, audience, we are not going to be watching the Friday the 13th TV show. That has nothing to do with Jason. Literally, the only thing it has in common is the name, and that's where the similarities end. We will not be watching that show, so don't ask. However, who knows? Maybe we'll do a quick little dirty take on the Crystal Lake series from A24. Maybe in the future, who knows? But not promising anything. But it'll be interesting to see. I think this is a very interesting trajectory we've taken with this series, ending on the third movie, but the first movie that has his hockey mask. It kind of does have sort of a, circular thing going here.
Where, it'll be... coming into Jason again, the iconic pop culture figure, that guy with the hockey mask.
Exactly. Yeah, we'll see the birth of the hockey mask, and I hope that it's not underwhelming to you guys.
Yeah, well.
Anywho, that'll do it for this obligatory Friday the 13th installment of Apocalypse Video.
Wait, are we going to watch this in 3D?
We'll see if we can. I'll have to find some glasses. That's kind of one of the reasons we've been putting it off. We've been trying to watch it in its natural state.
We're trying to be purists. Really, we are.
But that'll do it for this obligatory Friday 13th. We'll resume your normal whale-related programming after this.
Finally.
Good.
How's that beer treating you, beer snob?
Better than my own piss.
You can drink that, by the way. Yours, what? hers, mine, your every swear to God, it's piss is sterile.
For the record, you will never drink my piss.
That's what you think.
Is that, what about me?